This podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy. The Academy holds a number of courses specifically designed to help marketers and marketing professionals skill up and demonstrate their worth to either their clients or their employers. You can find out more at marketingdevelopment.academy.
Big changes are awesome, but they're very, very daunting. And again, that applies to everything in life.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by Jessica Barron. We talk about how systemizing doesn't necessarily just need to apply to your business, but how you can find extra space in your life by applying systems to that too. It's a really great chat, so let's just dive straight in. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by the lovely and fascinating Jessica Barron. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm going to say really good, but I've actually been very ill.
Yes, so yeah.
I'm feeling much better than I was yesterday.
That's
we'll
great.
Go
so,
with that.
So we in our pre-chat, you have just been telling me about how bad you have been. So we're pleased that you're picking up. Before we go into who you are and what you do, actually, this is an element of you suffering for the cause, isn't it? Because you're not feeling great because you're on a low sugar diet, which is something you're doing for your own audience. So what's that all about?
Oh, the insanity. So next month we are doing a 30-day habit challenge. So anyone in my audience or who's just joined my audience can join in, and they can pick whatever habit they want to start for 30 days, and it could be giving up something or it could be starting something. So I wanted to encourage and motivate and inspire by doing one the month before. So I'm doing 30 days of low sugar, which also carefully ties in with the beginning of my summer holiday and wanting to look nice in a bikini. But I'm fairly low carb already. So I didn't think it would be quite this hideous. I haven't gone specifically keto, but what I experienced yesterday, I've Googled, and seems to be very similar to keto flu. Okay. And I've maybe had a migraine once in my life before, and it was a 2 compared to yesterday's like 12 out of 10. I couldn't roll my head from one side to the other on the pillow without being in excruciating pain. I feel like labor was more enjoyable than yesterday.
sounds fun. And Dr. Google comes to the rescue once again.
Oh, good old Google. And well, a lot of, mainly onto YouTube videos, because then I could play them, because I couldn't read anything. I sort of Google find something. Yes, just play the sounds to me and I will try and digest. And it everything kept telling me salt, so I consumed a lot of salt yesterday.
Oh. So
all for the cause.
And if Mr. Ducker was around, he would be very impressed with you, I'm sure. We can send him a message and say, look, this is what you have done to the delegates on your from your summit. So Chris is really sort of the reason that you and I met, because we did meet at the Upreneur Summit last year. In fact, we spent the first day on the same table, didn't we, at the summit? And it was very good to meet you. And since then, we've been in touch online. So, do you want to sort of explain who you are and what it is that you do?
Yes. So, I run Supermum Society, which is resources for a better, easier, happier motherhood, designed exclusively for mums who don't want to wing it. The funniest thing being that I don't think any mum is actually winging it. I think that whole phrase is a con that women use to downplay their efforts, but that's a side story. I have a YouTube channel, I have a podcast, a blog, and lots of free downloads. We only launched last July, so the first year was going to be about building up the brand online, building the social media, and helping a lot of people for free. And now we're just starting to bring out our monetized products. We've actually just put online our first physical product that people can purchase. And we're going to have a 3-day retreat twice a year and workshops, and run the first workshop now. So sort of really started to gain momentum, which is a bit scary at times, because when you start out, you're like, oh, this is just my little pet project. It doesn't really matter. And now I'm like serious, head down at the grind. Achieving the big things.
Achieving the big things. You're pushing on through. How's your first... It can be really daunting launching your first product. So how's that gone?
So I have... everything I do, whether it's a product, going to a networking event, going out for dinner with my partner, I always have an objective. Now, call that like a little bit obsessive or whatever, but my objective can be I'm going to relax tonight, or my objective can be I'm going to enjoy the amazing meal we're going to taste. And with my first product, I very much came across lots of situations last year where having a product for goodie bags at events would have been really beneficial. Now, really small events where there were 15 people that were very much exactly my target audience. And I missed a few of these. So my first product was always going to be something that I could also use for those events. It was never going to be a high ticket. It was going to be, there's going to be no hard, massive promo or anything. It's going to be sort of like a bonus product as such. Yep. Does that make sense? So I haven't found it too stressful, which has also been quite nice because I've been able to enjoy the process of designing it and finding the printers and bringing it out. And I will do little bits of promo, but it's more going to be when people come for the bigger ticket items to purchase, they're like, oh, we'll get this little ticket item too. So it's been a nice way to enter that sort of stream of thought and that sort of situation. So kind of got in gently, which is normally not me. I'm normally more about like, let's go in with the extreme and conquer the world. And I was like, no, I feel like I need to do this one thing gently.
You're finally starting to take some advice out of some of the books. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Eventually, you see, they'll come around and they'll get you. I mean, the whole concept of the Super Mum Society, I know that from the discussions that we've had before, that it sort of has come out of your need to be, or your want to be a better mum, and then how that can inspire and help other people as they're going through the same thing. So can you in a couple of minutes sort of sum up where this whole journey started for you and why the Super Mum Society came into existence?
So this could go back 17 years, if I'm honest. I knew at 15 that I wanted to be a mum. Right. I was shown this hideous video in biology that made the male audience jaws drop and the women cross their legs a little bit tighter. And I went, I want to be a mum. And I was at a very academic school. Like, you were vet, doctor, banker, solicitor, and anything else wasn't a career, basically. And I was very much the low end of the academic school. And I went, I don't want a career, I want to be a mum. which was really ironic, because less than 2 years later, I found out that that was probably medically impossible. Another 2 years on, so at 17 and at 19, I got given two different medical reasons why that wasn't going to happen. But I kind of already always had it in my head that it was going to happen, and I just sort of plodded on with my life. Really funny, for someone that's obsessed with time management and organization and life planning now, I had no life plan. And I literally was bumbling through it. I was very much winging anything. And it was all a bit of a disaster. And then my mum got ill, and it struck this complete spark in me to take control of my life on every level and start moving forward with where did I want to be? What did I want to be doing? Suddenly life was so short, blah, blah, blah. So I'll cut the next chunk of the story out because it's a bit irrelevant to today's talk. But fast forward sort of about 5 years down the line, had my life together, was really, really happy, was probably going to start looking at having a child 2, maybe 3 years down the line, but was still at this state where it was probably medically impossible and that we would be straight to IVF and probably looking at adoption. And I was quite happy with that. For me, don't need to carry a child to be a parent at all. So I was quite happy with that and just pottering on, and went to Ibiza with my partner, a long-term partner, got very, very drunk and came back pregnant.
There you go.
That's how you ignore the doctors and you relax. They do say stress is the worst thing for fertility. So I basically had 15, I gave birth when I was 30. So I'd had 15 years of dreaming of being a mum. And you could apply this to anything. Imagine you'd dreamed of running your dream business for 15 years. You're going to have a rough idea of what you want to do. you're going to have ideas for how you're going to want to build products, how I'm going to want to decorate a nursery, how I'm going to want to spend time with my child, what hours am I going to want to have with her, what hours are you going to want to work, those kind of things. Like, I had dreamed, plotted, goal set, whatever you want to say, for 15 years about being a mum. And once she arrived, we had the very organised nursery room, we had all the systems in place. I'm a stickler for a system. It makes her life so much easier. We'd really thought out how we could use our house best that was going to align with our child and things like this. Like, some people called it overthinking, and a lot of people are like, oh, they just do what they want to do. And yes, to an extent, they do what they want to do, children. But me thinking, well, if she's going to want to her nappy changed anywhere in the house, then I'm going to have a few nappy change stations.
Yeah.
And that might sound like a very specific parent reference, but you can apply that to so many things. Mm. And I realized that a lot of the mums that I was meeting hadn't thought any of this through to this level. It hadn't occurred to them because I'd been on this crazy life structure, life organization journey, and they hadn't. I'd learned mm-hmm. these skills. I'd been a wedding and event planner for a number of years. I'd been running 60 weddings plus private dining events in a year. That's a lot to stay on top of, a lot to stay organized with. These were skills I'd learned through my business life that I suddenly was applying to motherhood. And I was like, oh, actually, this is really useful. And people were starting to come to me. And at mum groups, people were starting to ask me these questions. And I really felt like I could help. And then the other side of it was that I didn't have anywhere to go myself. The Facebook groups particularly are very like me, a bit nasty, a bit cynical of trying to achieve anything. There's very much this wing it mum mentality, which I really dislike, because I think if you get out of the door or even close on that day or feed your small human that day, you've not won anything. Mm-hmm. I know Wong isn't a word, but I'm using it anyway. and the same with your business. It doesn't matter, even if you make a little step, a little tiny step, you've thought that through and you've made a process and you've gone for it. So I was starting to feel very isolated, that I had no community as a mum that I felt appealed to the kind of mum that I wanted to be. And then I also wanted to help all these mums that were also going, oh, I'm struggling. And I feel like there's an answer, but I don't know what it is and I can't find it because everyone's just telling me, no, it's hard and it's horrible and you just have to suck it up and get on with it. Mm. And I don't think that's true. I think motherhood is very hard. Parenthood is very hard, but it's not bad. If it's getting into being bad, then you're possibly looking at issues of depression, postnatal depression and things like that. But normal, it shouldn't be bad. And that's where I wanted to help and create this kind of community. It was sort of this, yeah, like I say, it was like a 17-year journey to this point, this sort of snowball of lots of things. But I can really see now where every step and every chapter of my life has played a part in me being able to be the mum I want to be and now be able to start Supermum Society and help all those other mums that are going, I'm exhausted, I don't have the time, I can't do this, I can't do that, I feel like there should be an answer, but I don't know where it is. And I'm like, here I am, here's the answer. Well, here's the start of the answer. It's been really exciting to see the little changes that as people come back to me and they sort of private message me and they'll be like, oh, I instigated this tiny thing you mentioned and it's changed everything. And that's really, you know, the big changes are awesome, but they're very, very daunting. Again, yeah, that applies to everything in life. But the little changes can really spark the massive things without you necessarily noticing. You just do the little bits. Suddenly the big bits come into play.
You know, there's two things I want to pick up from that. The first is that obviously you being you and being on the entire journey, you've referenced this as the snowball sort of starting over 17 years. Yet from the outside, as an outsider that's only known you for what, 6 or 7 months so far, and knowing how your business has changed over the last 6 or 7 months, I'd say the snowballing's happening now. So it's just odd, kind of the external perception to the internal perception, if you know what I mean. But the so I mean, one of the things that we sort of talked about diving into a bit on the podcast was about this whole area of integrating systems not only into your business but into your life. But then, I mean, the thing that's always interested me about you since we sat at that table at the QE2 in November was that you were able to say, right, this is my plan, and you had planners in place, and you we did it before this call. I mentioned, are you writing a book? And you said, no, that's 2021, and you've already got these things put in your lined up. So I'm assuming that part of the plan, part of the reason you plan so heavily is so that you can get your priorities right, so that you can work the hours that you want to spend time with your daughter. But on the same note, I'm guessing there's also business reasons for having plans put that far in place as well. So what's your, can you sort of take us through your sort of planning mentality first, and then we'll get onto the systemization stuff in a minute.
I'm very much a begin with the end in mind. And when I see the very end, not I'm in a coffin about to be lowered into the ground end, because that's just a bit morbid, but fairly close to that point. Like, what do I want to have achieved? How do I want to, in my dream life, how do I want to be spending my hours, my days, my weeks, my months, all that? How do I want that to look? And then what do I need to create to manage that? And I knew I wanted to be doing public speaking. I love public speaking. I knew I wanted to have a creative element. I have very much a creative vibe to me, but I'm not good at things like painting, which mm-hmm. most people think, oh, creative, you must be like painting and doing art and sticking things. And I'm not good at that kind of stuff at all. But there's definitely a creative element. So I wanted that in. So that's why I have so much fun creating my Instagram feed. So I looked at all these different elements that I wanted to have in and had this sort of bigger end picture and what did I want to have. And then it's putting those things into order so that I don't create one thing and go, oh, well, pants, actually, before I launch this, I need to launch this other thing that I haven't actually started.
Hmm.
It's where do those bits need to come in? Like, I've got a physical product that's coming out that really helps with time management, and I have got a workshop coming out that is around time management. Well, it'd be crazy to run a workshop about time management without having that physical product there that people could either buy or that I can include in the ticket price.
Yeah.
So I'm going to finish that physical product first. So it's I'm a lover, big lover of A2 sheets of paper. They have to be white. And I have all the rainbow Sharpies because I respond well to different colour coordinations. Know thyself. Rule for life, number one, know thyself. Thyself loves Sharpies. and I will write the words down. So I'll write all the way I vision my life, and then I'll get another sheet of paper. And I do this once a year. And I'll write down all the then elements within each element of my life. So going back to business, I've written down all the products that I wanted to have out and really thought through, when am I going to have enough time to bring this out properly? When am I going to have enough of a following to promote this properly and put actual years to those things? Then I work backwards. So if this product is coming out in September 2020, when do I have needed to have completed the product? When do I need to have booked the venue? When do I need to, like, working back and breaking it all down as well?
Hmm.
And having then literally being able to write down, well, this week's commencing whatever of 2019, I need to have finished this item for this thing in 2020 to happen. And that means that I am not suddenly panicking to do a load of work when my daughter suddenly gets the flu.
Yep.
I'm always ahead of the game. If you stay always ahead of the game when the world starts throwing stuff at you, worst case, you'll end up on time. So start early and you'll end up on time. Worst case, you end up on time. And so far, that's worked out really well. I mean, like I said, this week I've lost a lot of time with being poorly, but I am creating content at the moment for July.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this will go out. So we're beginning of May when we're recording, and I'm creating content for beginning of July onwards. So worst case, even if I ended up a month behind, no one's going to notice because I'm already ahead of the game. And that for me is really where planning comes into practice. If something really happened with my family, my partner's family, and I needed to spend a week sitting in beside a hospital bed, I've got the time to do that. And
yep.
I think because of the things that have happened in my life, I'm very aware of the disasters that can happen. And instead of going, well, disasters happen, I'm just going to let ride and let it happen. And there's no point planning because disasters always happen. I've gone the other way and gone, the more I plan, the more I can deal with these disasters.
That's a really sort of, it's a really good way to look at it, sort of, you know, flip it to the other side. I recorded a podcast that went live a week or two ago with a guy called Jimmy Rose, and that was all about applying business automation to your business processes. So, you know, running Zapier's apps and looking at how apps and things can connect together in order to get rid of some of the mundane stuff that, whilst each job may only take you 5 or 10 minutes a week, by the time, you know, if you can clear half a dozen of those every week, then over the course of a year, you get to be what he called time positive. And you're essentially talking about the same thing, but on a slightly grander scale in terms of being able to have that time positivity so that if the unexpected happens, and God forbid that it should, but if it does, actually your business is already taken care of for the next 2-3 months, whatever it might be. So you do have that flexibility of standing back and being with the people that you need to be with in the moment that they need you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has happened behind the scenes within this sort of last year of Supermum that people wouldn't know because the consistency of stuff is all always coming out. We launched with a month of content already, and then for the first like 2 months I really, really worked hard and hammered it all out to get myself those 2 months ahead with all the content, and constantly analyzing what content is working and what's not working, so you're not spending your time on stuff you don't need to. That is like, there's two things that every diary, calendar, planner, however you plan your life, need to be in there. One is self-care. Because if you burn out, you are no good to anyone. You're no good to your business. You're no good to your family. You're no good to your friends. Nothing. Self-care is number one. And my self-care things go in my diary before anything to do with my kid or my family. Because if I'm not, if mama not happy, ain't no one happy. And then the second thing that needs to be there is time for planning.
Yeah.
So I spend an hour a week planning my next week. And for some people, they're like, oh, that's hideous. That's so much time. And I'm like, well, my week's quite complicated to plan anyway, because I have 15 and a half hours childcare a week. The rest is predominantly mummy and a bit of daddy, because daddy work has to go off to meetings and things like that. So I have to be that sort of strict with it. I'm running Supermum Society, and then I've got, I do some personal training clients still as well. So I'm juggling their schedules on top of wanting to take it to all the groups and classes. Like, there's a lot of juggle going on. So an hour for me seems very realistic. But that hour spent planning saves me so much time. I get up in the morning knowing exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not getting decision fatigue because it's literally all planned out in my diary. And that's like, when I'm having my meals are in there, and when we're going to go and have a walk. And there is, I call them mum buffers. So they're like little buffers of time that I put around things, so that if the kid's deciding to not play ball that day, that if something's going to take a little bit longer, I've got those mum buffers in there. And that's all right. And if we don't need the mum buffers, I use them as a bit of calm time. Because my brain goes a million miles a minute. So they're my emergency buffers, but actually they have a purpose if I don't have an emergency as well. But if you don't have the self-care and the planning in there, I don't feel like you'll ever be running at your best, at your optimum.
No, I completely agree. The way I sort of plan my week is, I have yearly plans. So let's back up from this a little bit, because one of the things you sort of mentioned without putting it in these words is about having a sort of rhythm to how you review the plan. So I have like an annual rhythm to this. So I will always in December look at what I've achieved that year and what my plan is for the next year. And actually I have a kind of, I sort of have a wish list for 3 years, and then what I do is I say, right, so in the next 12 months off that wish list, I'm going to do these things. And then I break that down into quarters, and then every quarter I sit and break that down into months. And then what I do is every Friday afternoon, I used to do this on a Monday morning, but it just on a Monday, people want to get hold of me because that's yeah. kind of the way it works. You know, people want to know when stuff's going to be live. They've got questions about whatever. Whereas on a Friday, when things are starting to quieten down, I have an hour. It doesn't always take me an hour, I must admit, but there's an hour put to one side to plan out my next week. And I have a board in ClickUp. We use ClickUp as our project management tool. And I have a board in ClickUp which has five columns in it. Well, it's got six columns in it, actually. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and completed. And what I do is I then look at, right, so this month I need to achieve these things. So this week, this is what I'm going to do. And that's when I start to get granular to say, right, on Monday, I'm going to do these seven things. On Tuesday, I'm going to do these eight things. On Wednesday, I've got a meeting, I've got a podcast recording, and then I'm going to do these other three things. And basically, they all just get dragged into completed when they're done. And I work, some of the things in there are personal, as you've mentioned, like go to the gym, we're having our bathroom refitted at the minute, so I've had to leave space for talk with the bathroom fitter. But, you know, it just everything goes in there and then it just gets dragged to completed. And the reason I have the completed column is because I can then see throughout the week that, you know what, I may feel like this week's going a bit Pete Tong, but I can see that I've completed 19 things already this week. And that gives me that buzz feeling. And then on a Friday afternoon in ClickUp, what you can do is you can sort of archive all tasks within a particular list. So everything in the completed, I get the joy of going click, archive all these items. And all of a sudden, 29 items just disappear. They're all done. And then I can start moving on and planning what the next week's looks like. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. So that's how I do it. And it's, I've spoken to people and say, hey, there's a whole load of duplication in that. And I'm like, I don't really care. Because actually, for me, spending that hour on a Friday afternoon, knowing it means I can come in on Monday and I know what I've got to do. And then, it just gives me the what's the point in using all these tools if it doesn't make you feel better about what you're doing? Yeah. That's really what I'm getting to. So, I completely get where you're coming from. You're just very much more kind of, yes, on the 19th of May 2019, this will be done. And on the 31st of September 2019, that'll be done. I'm not quite there yet.
It will be done by that date. So maybe if it's for the 18th of May, I might have done it by the 13th of May. But I just know by the 18th it will be done because maybe there's something on the 19th that I need that thing for.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. So one of the other things that we talked about was about how you've started systematizing parts of your sort of family life as well as parts of your business life. So do you just want to give us a sort of idea about how that works? What does your partner think about it when, you know, you've got a standard operating procedure for loading the dishwasher? I mean, how does that work?
Half the time, I'm not entirely sure he notices.
You've conditioned him, is that what you're saying?
He just sort of starts doing things. So he'll shoot me for saying this, I'm sure, but I was the sort of first full-time partner that he's ever lived with. So I guess there's no pre sort of thought process about how this should work. So me coming in and be like, yeah, this is what it's like to live with someone. This is how it goes. It's fine. He was very much set in his ways. So some things I've sort of slowly changed. And instead of coming in and going full force and going like, the fridge is a mess, I'm going to redo it. So our fridge is now boxes within the fridge.
Right.
There's these awesome tubs that you can get. I think they're meant to be for a plant stand in IKEA. These white, they've got a handle at each end. One side has got a dip and one side doesn't. And they just seem to be perfect for so many things. And our fridge has got a big one at the bottom that all the meat stuff goes in because meat drips, and then smaller ones. So instead of trying to rummage to the back of your fridge, you can just pull out one of these little boxes and get the things out that you want. So much better. Like, my kitchen cupboards are done with it, our drawers, like everything is. A drawer should never be a drawer, it should always have compartments in it, as far as I'm concerned, unless the one thing you're putting in there is as big as the drawer, obviously.
Please tell me you've allowed him to have a man drawer.
He has a man room. He works from home as well. So he has a home office and I have a home office. So he has some really weird artwork. So every bit of artwork I didn't like has ended up in that office. Slowly. I gently moved things to maybe the spare bedroom for a while, and then they've slowly gone down into his office because he's right. He's in the basement. His office is down, and mine's on the top floor. So we're really far away from each other as well. We've got we're very tall, skinny house. So top floor, he's three stories down.
It's helpful when you're talking about him on podcasts and you don't want him to know.
Yeah, it's fine. And it was slowly making those changes, but I get this a lot of people, particularly parents. They're like, but my kids won't do that or my partner won't do that. And you've got to be prepared to do the work first. Mm. And I've seen it happen so many times, and not just within my family, but friends have started picking up habits that I'm doing, not because I've told them how great they are, but because they've seen how they've benefited me. Mm-hmm. So he's seen how much easier it is having, I just did one cupboard to start with, and it was actually only half a cupboard with these tubs. And he saw how much easier it was to just be able to pull it out and know that you don't open a three-shelved cupboard expecting there to be pasta in there somewhere. He knows that that box is the pasta box, so much quicker. Yep. And so I could start doing that elsewhere and start doing that in the bathroom cabinet. And now we've done the fridge as well. And it does slowly make everything that little bit easier. But one of the questions I tell people to ask themselves, whether it's business or home or whatever, is why is this taking me so much time? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer is it just does. It's just a thing that is going to take a lot of time. And then you ask, is it worth it? Yes or no? And you find a way to cut it out if it's not worth it. But why is this taking me so much time? And one of the examples I've used recently, because it's really tiny, so tiny, are laundry products. So Vanish Color Catcher or laundry detergent. There's some sort of stain spray in there. You know, the gumph that's in your cupboard. That got moved to a box quite a while ago because then you can just pull the box out. And all our cupboards have got safety catches on because we've got a toddler. So you don't want to have to go in and out of the cupboard a lot. So one safety catch, you take the box out, you do the stuff, you put the box away. Mm-hmm. And time already saved. But this box was cardboard because I already had it. I didn't want to buy anything if I didn't have to. And it was a bit soggy and the corner structure was getting a bit weak. And actually, it was being frustrating, which is never good to be frustrated. It's being frustrating and taking me longer because I had to lift it out really carefully. And it sounds like a tiny thing. It took me a little bit longer to take a box out of a cupboard. Well, I've swapped that box for a plastic box, one of my lovely IKEA boxes. See, they work everywhere. I love those boxes.
I was going to say other Swedish manufacturers are available, but they're probably not.
No, this one is like, I'm going to do a whole YouTube video on this box because I feel like I'm secretly in love with it. I don't want to marry my partner anymore. I want to marry this box. Partner for life. But I've swapped this slightly flimsy cardboard box that was still saving me time, but was also costing me more than it should, to a plastic box. What a tiny change. And it's made everything so much quicker. It's probably shaved minutes off every time I do a laundry load, which considering there's two of us and a toddler and I work out a lot, so there's like a gym set of gym clothes at least once a day on top of everyone else's laundry. That's that couple of minutes every time I do a wash does start to add up. And it's really funny how those tiny changes can make such a difference, either saving time or making things flow better. Because when things flow better, you get less stressed, you're not spiking your cortisol levels, so you're going to be able to move on to your next thing and do that next thing better. Mm. And the big, I have some crazy big systems in place for the general overview and planning and running of life, but I say to people, start with those little tiny ones, because quite often they're really quick to instigate. And the scary thing with anything time management is often it requires a lot of time investment to get big time rewards. Mm. But little time rewards add up. And quite often those little time rewards are things we do more often.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's funny, getting these special white plastic tubs that I love so much have saved me little pockets of time in so many areas.
See, it's practical stuff like that. And, you know, you're right. We do talk a lot about how to systematize our businesses, how to, you know, think about everything with your business. I was at a conference last week and we were talking about writing standard operating procedures, and somebody said, look, think of it as writing the procedure for somebody that has a basic level of English? Imagine you're writing it for an international VA that has a basic level of English. If they can do it from your instructions, then your operating procedure's all right. But we apply that to elements of our business. You know, we have documents for sending websites live, for onboarding clients, for how we manage processes in the agency, all that kind of stuff. But I don't think of any of that when I go home. You know, I go home. Admittedly, our life is based slightly differently in that because my wife works with me, so we, you know, I kind of look after the sort of 9 to 5 or 9 to 3 around school hours. So our kids are both at school, so she works kind of school hours. So I kind of have oversight to make sure there's enough work coming in, that the schedules are being met, that the bills are being paid, all that kind of stuff. But then when it gets to 5 o'clock, I switch off. She's completely in control of our home finances, of our home diary. You know, she'll tell me what's happening that evening, because that's kind of her realm, if you see what I mean. But that, because of that, I don't think of any of the processes when I go home. I just go home and do what I'm told, basically. I'm getting
it's
a raised
nice to be
eyebrow.
Able to shut off. No, it's nice to be able to shut off and just do what you're meant to be doing. Instead of having to overthink it. Decision fatigue is something that crops up a lot now, and I'm like, but if you wake up in the morning knowing what you're going to be doing, it's so much easier. Mm. And I mean, people get on my back. They're like, but this means you never have any let up time. And I'm like, no. Don't get me wrong. Planned in my list of things I will do will be relaxation time. Mm. Like, but that's, you're already knowing what you're doing. Just because you're classifying it as relaxation time doesn't mean it's not an actual thing. It's a very important thing.
Well, and the result of that, or the consequence of not doing that, is that when particularly when you're working with clients, or when you're, like, for example, yourself, when you're doing something for your audience, if you don't have that time built in, it's almost like you're giving yourself permission to do that. Because if you don't have that built in, then something will crop up. Somebody will send you an email, the phone will ring, whatever, something will get pushed, and you'll just keep on working. This is something I've been talking about. As I mentioned, we've got a bathroom fitter in our house at the moment, and he's been with us for, it's amazing how when you have a workman in your house, they fit into your family for the last, you know, for the 2 or 3 weeks that they're with you, and then they disappear, and that's fine. But he goes to the gym 4 times a week. Why I know this, I don't really know, but he goes to the gym 4 times a week, and he always goes at 3 o'clock on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So, of course, we're coming home, seeing the work that he's done, and thinking, but if he'd only been here another sort of hour and a half, he could have done X, he could have done Y, he could have done whatever. Of course, he's finished the job, or he's finishing the job on schedule. He's due to finish tomorrow, and he's putting the finishing touches on today. That's absolutely fine. He's doing exactly what he said, but he's also had that freedom to sort of take care of himself. He starts early, he finishes when he says he's going to finish, and then the rest of the day is his. Me, on the other hand, you know, I've been working, I've been sorting him out, coming in, sort of scrapping around all day. And I've been stressing that I haven't got out on my bike. I haven't been to the gym, but I haven't done the stuff that I wanted to do. And that's all because actually what I've been doing is client work. Because part of my life's been messed up at the start of the day. It's kind of knocked everything on for the last 2 weeks. And it's, if I had had that plan in place, if I'd planned in, right, on Thursday at 3 o'clock, I'm going on a bike ride, that was in the diary, then actually it would have happened. I know it would have happened. So it's obvious to see how the two really should fit together. It's just simply the fact that most people don't actually think about having those procedures to apply to your personal life as well as to your business. And I think that's what's kind of been the light bulb moment as you've been talking, and as we were talking just before we recorded.
You need to listen to my latest podcast episode. So I talk about that we're breaking, you get very upset if people break promises to you, but that we are all victim to breaking the most important promises, which are the ones to ourselves. And we make a promise to ourselves to do this thing, to take care of ourselves, to make sure we get a shower every day. That's a particular mum thing that we're like, we never get to shower. And I'm like, hang on a minute, I've never missed a shower that I've wanted. Sometimes I've gone, no, I really don't want to bother with a shower today. I'm not seeing anyone. We're rolling around on the sofa. Like, I don't need a shower. But had I made the promise to myself to do that, I'm now reminded. I always think, oh, so if I was breaking this promise to someone else instead of myself, would I really be doing it? Mm-hmm. And usually the answer is no. Like, I you have to, it sounds terrible, but you have to put yourself first because everything after will suffer.
Yeah.
And the real extremes of that is I was talking to a lady event the other week and I pre-warned her. I said, are you happy with tough love? I can be quite aggressive. And she's like, yes, I'm happy with tough love. And she said, she felt guilty that she, as a mum, still had time to work out because we were at an event with mums and a lot of them were saying they don't have time for a 30-minute workout at home. And she's like, I have an hour and a half every morning that I can go to the gym. And I feel really guilty for that. And I feel bad for doing that. And I said, tough love moment. If you didn't look after yourself and you died earlier, you'd feel even worse. And she was like, that's slightly scary, but yes, that is true. And I was like, you sometimes have to take it back to the massive bigger picture, the coffin going in the grand picture. I'm very morbid today, aren't I? That moment where at the end of your life, no one's going to give you that time back. All these people that have stolen your time throughout your life aren't going to suddenly rock up and go, here, have another 12 years because of all the moments we stole from you. You've got however much time you've got and you have to be in control of that. And it's such like life-changing and motivating to suddenly realize you actually do have control of it and what you're doing with it and where you're going with it. And when you start taking back that control and doing the things you want to do with your time and you suddenly realize how much all the other areas benefit.
Yeah,
if my self-care goes out of the window for a week, everyone suffers. Everyone in like my circle suffers. Like, my brain goes foggy and it just nothing functions. Nothing functions. And nearly as bad as yesterday's hideous migraine. And I realise I have to, if I want to look after everyone around me, and that includes my like employees, if I want to keep Supermum Society going, and yes, I do have employees, I do outsource things, I'm not doing everything myself. But if I didn't look after me, I wouldn't be able to look after them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have the energy to produce the work that then goes on to them for them to produce the next stages of work. I wouldn't have the energy to enjoy the time with my daughter.
Yeah.
And that is often the biggest pull, is when you have got kids. And I guess if you haven't had kids yet, your business can feel like your baby. And you feel like you should always be giving to your baby, be it an actual one or your metaphorical one. And it's hard to draw back and go, oh, but I need to take this time for me. And you have to remind yourself that taking that time for you is a way of giving to all these people you need to give to as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's you brought it around, you've concluded it really nicely in saying that. So that's I think, you know, there's other things, there's other areas we could go with this, but I think that's a good place to sort of draw to a close on. Now, if you've really liked what Jessica's been talking about, because she is, as you can see, she's really good at this, you have put together a download that's on your website, haven't you, about how to feel less tired with less sleep. And, you know, I guess part of that is how to make the most of the time that you have while you're awake without letting tiredness get on top of you. So where can people find that and how can they connect with you?
So that one's on the website, which is supermumsociety.com/feel-less-tired. That's one. We've got quite a few downloads now that can help with different areas of time management and introducing self-care and bringing in the habits into your life that you want to. I don't even know how many downloads available on there now. I just keep coming up with new things that would help and throwing them up there. Our website is kind of the hub for everything. That's got all the links through to the podcast and the YouTube channel, blog and everything like that. Like, that's all hubbed together. Instagram's probably my favourite place to hang out, which, funnily enough, is at Supermum Society. Any social media that we're on, I'm like, I'm not going on it unless they've got at Supermum Society. I like the coordination. So anything that we've chosen to be on is at Supermum Society. But Instagram is my favourite place to hang out. And my crazy eccentric ways are very much broadcast on my Instagram stories. but it is for me, life and business are just kind of one. Your work time is very much a part of, should be considered as a part of your life. We have so few hours in our lives when you look at it. that it's finding a way of really making them work, everything work together and have this calmness and this smoothness to life where you achieve your dreams, but you're enjoying the journey.
You know, that is brilliant. And thank you so much for your time, Jessica. If you do want to connect with Jessica, all of the things she's just mentioned will be in the show notes, which there'll be a link to the show notes in the intro and outro. I'm not 100% sure which episode you're going to be yet. So thank you so much for your time and for joining us. It's been a real pleasure having you on.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Jess, thank you so much for your time. It was really great to speak to you again. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/053. And if you haven't done so yet, come and join us in our Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast, or head on over to peteeverett.com/group, and it will forward you straight on. I look forward to seeing you next week.